Arizona Science is supported by Research Corporation for Science Advancement.
For AZPM, I'm Tim Swindle, Professor Emeritus of Planetary Science at the University of Arizona, and this is Arizona Science. Joining me today is Cindy Moranti, a professor of cellular and molecular medicine at the university who's been working on how prostate cancer works at the molecular level. Welcome, Cindy.
Thank you for inviting me.
Cindy, you've been working on the underlying mechanisms for prostate cancer and how it interacts with the body and with potential treatments. How do you study something like a cancer at that micro level?
Yeah, so we usually have to try to isolate tumors to some of the patients. So patients are very important in this process. And then we can put those into culture and manipulate the cells and look at them and understand the genetics and the molecular biology behind all of the, you know, what's going on in the tumor. But ultimately, that's just telling us what's happening at that time, right? That the time we take the tumor, we can only see what's happened at that moment. We can't say what caused it or how it happened. And so for that, we have to like look at this tumor and say, okay, there are these particular genes that are mutated. What if we go and take a model system and mutate those genes in a model system, and will that cause that model to get cancer? And this is typically done in a mouse, which is, for prostate cancer, is really a difficult model because the mouse prostate doesn't look anything like a human prostate, and the mouse physiology is very different from a human. And so we were really interested in trying to develop better models. And so what we've actually gone to is what's kind of typically called as an organ on a chip. The idea was to build a human prostate organ tissue onto something that's the size of a microscope slide, and ask about specific interactions and the cellular interactions and the genetic mutations that will cause these cells to become abnormal.
So I've heard this term organ on a chip or prostate on a chip. You have some material on a slide or in the sides of a slide. What do you do with it? How do you manipulate?
We have to go down to the tissue level, and the tissue is made up of several different types of cells. And so we have to isolate each of the different cell components and then put them back together in an architectural arrangement that mimics what's happening in the human gland. And so that requires some collaboration with some engineers to develop what we call microfluidics environments, where we can have media continually flowing over these cells constantly, which is really what happens in the body, right? We're constantly being soaked by media and nutrients. And then we can either manipulate genetically, you know, this cell type or that cell type and ask what the effects of that genetic manipulation is on their behavior and how they interact with each other.
Developing treatments is a long process.
Right.
From your models, how many years until an effective drug would come out if you find one that works?
It's about the chemistry of the drugs, right? The models are there to help us determine which drugs are the best drugs. So making a drug is pretty easy, but until it's actually tested in these physiologically relevant systems, then it, you know, you don't know, right? So everyone goes and throws it in a mouse and it works great in the mouse, and then you go to the clinic and it doesn't work at all, right? There's a beautiful study that was shown with a liver chip demonstrating that a bunch of chemotherapeutic agents that we know have been using in the clinic for years. We know they're toxic in humans. We use them anyway. But when they were initially tested in the mice, they weren't toxic. So they went back and they took those same drugs and they put them on a liver chip, and it was toxic to the liver chip. So it was a better predictor of how it would work in the human scenario than it was in the mouse.
And how long does it take to get from working on the chip to getting a drug actually being used?
For us to actually identify a drug that might be effective may only take maybe 4 or 5 years. But what the hard part is to convince a pharmaceutical company that they want to take that drug and develop it and do a clinical trial. And that's going to take another 5 years at least, assuming, you know, they like everything that they see. So they don't want to, right, jump into something that they think might not work. So it's really kind of becomes a collaboration, if you will, between the researcher and the company to decide, right, what the criteria and the parameters are.
Thanks for talking with us, Cindy.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
Good luck. Our guest today has been Cindy Moranti, who is studying the mechanisms behind the development of prostate cancer using what's called a prostate on a chip. This is Tim Swindle, and you have been listening to Arizona Science. You can also listen to this and other Arizona Science segments by going to the AZPM website at azpm.org.
Thank you to Research Corporation for Science Advancement for their support of Arizona Science.